here with us this morning. It's a great morning to be in the Lord's house. We are excited about next week. Please make plans to be here next week. Again, one service starting 2 o'clock, no Sunday school. And so we're just going to have a great day of celebration. If you didn't know, we just, over the last probably 3 or 4 years, God really laid our heart to pay off the church. We took over. When Melissa and I became pastors, we were $1.1 million in debt. And God has opened some crazy doors and made a way to pay the church off. And that's what we're celebrating next Sunday. And so we'll have a note-burning time. And so it's going to be a great time. I want to invite you out next Sunday, 10 a.m. Afterwards, we're going to have lunch for you. We're providing the meat. And then after that, it's a good old-fashioned church potluck. And so bring a side, bring a dessert, or bring a salad. And we're just going to eat lunch together, have a family fellowship on the grounds here. And again, just celebrate what God has done. He's done some awesome things. And so next week's going to be a great, great day. And so we invite you to come out, be a part of that with us. Today, though, we're back. We started a series last week, and it's a series called Transformed by the Holy Spirit. Before I get into that, I about forgot. We were gone this past week to what we call general council. And so our denominations, Assemblies of God, every other year, we all to get together. So if you got credentials, hold credentials, Assemblies of God, you get together. You don't have to, but you get together, and we have services. We do business meetings. This is a great time. And so last week was that. We got to go as pastors on staff. We all went. And so we had a great time. But the cool part is that the same time general council is going on, we have what we call National Fine Arts. That's where our young people are at. They're driving back today. They got to participate in that. And so you have general council, you have the fine arts all going together. Well, Tuesday night they did something pretty awesome. We had one service where everybody was combined, and it was a worship service. So you had youth, you had young people, you had old people, you had everybody in between. And when we let out, we're headed up the escalator. I turned around, took a picture. Can you show us that picture, Johnny? Look at this. That's probably, I would say, that's not even half of the people that were there. It was awesome. And what was cool about it, in that service, you saw all these people in one place worshiping the Lord. I mean, it was powerful to see young people next to old people. We're all just worshiping the Lord. It was awesome. And so that's where we're at. That's what we got to be a part of. And that's where our young people are at. And so it was just a cool experience. And so that's what we were doing last week. But today, we're back on our series called In the Holy Spirit, Transformed by the Holy Spirit. And today, it's going to be one of those sermons that I'm throwing a lot of information at you. And so if you're a visitor today, I want to apologize because you're going to get a lot today. And so, but there's a lot. And since there's a lot, I want to start by opening up in a word of prayer. Would you join me? Tell me, Father, Lord God, I pray right now. God, as we open your word and we begin to learn about the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you just soften our hearts to receive your word. I pray today that we're challenged by your word. I pray today we grow in your word. I pray today we learn more about you. And Lord, whatever we think of the Holy Spirit, I pray we learn about the Holy Spirit and we grow in your word today. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at what it means to live a Spirit-filled life, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to start in the famous Acts chapter 2, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. If you ever want to learn about the Holy Spirit, you start there and go from there and you see the works of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start in verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, so let's start with that phrase right there, filled with the Holy Spirit. So last week, we looked at John chapter 14, when Jesus says, it's actually better if I go. You know, I need to go so I can send the counselor, the comforter, the Holy Spirit to be with you. So he's telling his disciples, hey, I need to go. And they're all like, no, no, don't go. We want you here because you were supposed to be king. You're supposed to kick out Rome. You're supposed to do all this. He said, no, it's better I go. Because if I go, that means my spirit can come and be in all of you guys. And so that was a promise. That's where we get the promise, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in that verse is called Paraclete. And it means comforter, counselor, helper, guiding, and intercessor. So he says, there you go, and you're going to receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. With that comes power, the power to share Christ boldly, the power, the Spirit's power whenever we're weak. That's when we rest in the Holy Spirit. And so we also get the power, but we also get the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And the scripture says these believers were filled with the same Spirit. Now listen to this. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within the believers. I mean, this is amazing stuff. And this is the promise that you and I have, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says, and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All right, at that moment, things got tricky. Because at that moment, there's controversy. They spoke in other tongues. And everything kind of got a little weird at that moment, right? And so in Acts, what we see in Acts chapter 2 is they're speaking in other human languages. If you go in and read a story, what's happening is the Bible says there was Jews from all over the region there because they're celebrating the day of Pentecost, a feast, right? That required all Jewish men to be there. Well, that means all Jewish men from the region. So that means they spoke different languages. Like this region spoke different. This one. And so there was different languages. And so they're all gathered in this place to celebrate the festival of Pentecost, right? And what happened was they start hearing these guys speak in their hands. They go, that's my language. How are they speaking my language? Because they were so confused because disciples, they actually started making fun of them. They said, these guys, they're drunk, they're toasted, they're wasted, they're high, they're buzzed, whatever's happening. And Peter's like, no, hang on a second. We're not drunk, you know. We're good. We're actually just filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it's very confusing. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it's still very confusing that this gift, it's very controversial in a lot of circles, because a lot of people, when you hear the Holy Spirit, that's immediately where people go. They're all speaking in tongues. You're one of those nut jobs, huh? I mean, come on. I grew up in Pentecost, so I've heard it all. Swinging from the chandeliers. You're the devil church. You know, we've heard it all, right? And so, because that's what people automatically go to. And so, you know, these people are weird and all this good stuff. And so what we want to do is I want to actually look at the Word of God, at this gift called the Holy Spirit and what comes along with it, speaking in tongues. Because that's my challenge for you. Whenever you hear something, I want you to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about what everybody wants to know about. What about tongues? But that's not going to be the bulk of the message. And so we're going to kind of fly through this. I say fly through this because I'm going to give you a lot of information really quickly, and you're going to have lots of questions that come see me afterwards. Maybe one day we can talk about it all, right? Because I can't answer them all right now. So we're going to start with some foundational thoughts on Holy Spirit and speaking tongues. I want you to see the different types of tongues. Some of you think, well, I thought there was only one speaking in tongues. Well, there's different types of speaking in tongues. I want to look at them this morning. The first type is assigned to unbelievers. Okay, assigned to unbelievers. That's what you see happening in Acts. And in 1 Corinthians 14:22, it says, therefore, tongues are assigned not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. That's what we get. It's a sign. Now, let me stop right here and say, okay, there is an argument that people use when we say we feel the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. They're like, oh, well, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says when the perfect comes, the partial fades away. Okay, what are they calling the perfect then? Because they say when the perfect comes, the partial fades away. What do they declare the perfect? That's my first question always. Some will say, well, the perfect means the Word of God. We got the Word of God, so the partial, the gifts, the spiritual gifts, fade away. Well, I would challenge that. I would challenge that and say, well, I believe that verse is saying the perfect is Jesus Christ. We step into glory. Jesus comes or we step into glory. That's the perfect that I would consider. And we're still here, and to my knowledge, he hasn't come. And so that's one verse that people will say, well, this is for the past. Why are we even talking about that? That's where we get why we're still talking about it. All right, so anyway, the first sign is the unbelievers, okay? So what happens is the tongues is a sign when the Holy Spirit transcends our intelligence and gives us the ability to speak in our language. That's what we saw in Acts chapter 2. Look at verses 5 through 8. It says, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation. When they heard the sound, the crowd came in bewilderment because each one heard in their own language being spoken." Verse 7, "Utterly amazed, they asked, why aren't all these who are speaking Galileans?" Okay, you don't know that, but it was kind of a backhanded slap. Okay, Galileans, they're like, aren't those second-class citizens, basically what they're saying. They're not educated enough to know my language. That's what they're really saying. And then verse 8, it says, "Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language?" They couldn't believe what they were hearing. These untrained Galileans are speaking their language. It was a sign that God was working among the believers that believed in Jesus. Okay, look at the result of it. If you keep on reading, hundreds came to the Lord that day because of that sign. And so that's a way tongues are used. As they speak in tongues as a sign, right? Okay, look at the other way. Again, that way is to grab the attention of one who's not yet a believer. The second type of tongues is interpretations, okay? So you have a message in tongues, and then you have interpretation, okay? Unlike tongues as a sign, this is a heavenly language. Paul refers to it in 1 Corinthians 12:10. It says, "To another, miraculous powers; to another, prophecy; to another, distinguishing between spirits; to another, speaking different kinds of tongues; and yet still to another, the interpretations of tongues." Okay, this is a heavenly language. It needs to be interpreted. And so, you know, if you grew up in Pentecost, you know this to be true, that whenever you invited one of your friends from school to church, come on, that was like almost a guarantee there's going to be a message in tongues, right? And you're like, why, Lord, why? You know? But so there's a message in tongues, and there's what we call an interpretation. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. And we're talking about the interpretation part. And the interpretation is just that. It's an interpretation. It's not a translate. We don't translate it, we interpret it. Why? Because heavenly tongues cannot be translated because they transcend our thinking. We can't interpret them. And so that's why we say it's interpretation. It's to edify the church. It's to bring a word from God. Okay, and so the way it happens is in a service, you'll hear a message in tongues. Everybody's like, what's happening, right? Freak some people out. But then you hear an interpretation. Okay, this morning, a great learning example was this morning, first service. First service, we're having a great, great time worshiping the Lord. And we had an interpretation. But there wasn't a message in tongue, but there was interpretation. You're like, oh, how's that? You know, all the rules, okay, so let me just explain how this works. We are human. Right? I didn't know if you know that or not, but we're all human. And sometimes we let emotions, sometimes we let fear get the best of us. And sometimes you may be feeling like you got a word from the Lord that He wants you to share, but then you're also not sure if it was a burrito from last night. And so you get a little, like, that's a heavy thing. Let's be honest. That's a heavy thing. And to step out and declare this is the word, I mean, that's a heavy thing. And so there has been times I've talked to individuals when they're like, well, I feel like I had the word, but I was scared. And I kind of let fear hold me back, and I didn't share. Maybe that's what happened this morning. Maybe the person that God gave the message in tongue to was just a little reserved, little fearful. And can I say that's okay? God understands. He's not going to hold that against you. Just because you did it one time doesn't mean He's never going to ever give that gift to you again. And let me also say, just because you've done it once doesn't mean you'll do it 100 times. Don't just say, hey, I got the gift of tongues. I don't know about it, but I got the gift of tongues. No. That one time, maybe. Maybe He'll do it again. Maybe the Lord won't. We don't know. And so sometimes we get a little too hung up on this stuff. And we just need to know that this is This is a public ministry. It's a public ministry, and it can bring life, and it can bring conviction, it can bring healing to somebody when it happens in the way that God's intended the way. And so the first two types are public signs. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 14, 22 and 23. It says, therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Verse 23, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? I love that verse. Will they say you're out of your mind? Yes, they will say you're out of your mind, right? And unless you understand there are different types of tongues, you'd really be confused by the scripture too. So the first is for unbelievers. The second is for the edification of the church. The message of the tongues for the unbelievers. The interpretation is for the edification of the church. Okay, I know this is a lot. Okay, I'm sorry, but it's like drinking out of a fire hose for a little bit. Okay, and think about it this way. If all the gifts of tongues were going at the same time this Sunday morning, there'd be confusion. And that's the one thing I guarantee the Holy Spirit never does is causes confusion. Even when you brought your buddy from high school, they would leave the service and say, wow, that was interesting. It wasn't confusion. And that's really a big red flag. If you leave a service, maybe there's some moves of the Holy Spirit during that service, and you just feel a little off, a little confused, could be a sign that maybe it wasn't the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot to this. I know I'm barely scratching the surface, but just stick with me. Paul addresses this confusion in 1 Corinthians 14, 18, 19. He says, I think, my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak, listen to this, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Well, it's simply, if a public tongue is used, it must be interpreted for the benefit of those presented. Otherwise, the Bible says it's like a noisy gong, right? All right, so again, that's a lot. So there's the public tongues, there's the gift of tongues, and there's interpretation. And then we move to private tongues. All right, your first private one, number three, is personal prayer. And I love this one. This is a powerful one. We find it in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. You see what he's saying? If I pray in a tongue, it's like the Holy Spirit is communing for you with God. Your spirit to spirit, right? And he says, my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit prays. My understanding is unfruitful. But in verse 15, he says, what is the conclusion then? If I pray with the Spirit, I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So Paul introduces the tongue of prayer here. And you've heard people, maybe when you come up to prayer at the altars, you've heard people speaking in tongues. That's not to be interpreted. Like, that's, you're not waiting on somebody to give interpretation there. They're just praying in their prayer language. We call it our heavenly prayer language. It's for personal edification. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 2. If you haven't noticed yet, go back to 1 Corinthians 14. That's a great chapter about the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God. So we know that Paul wasn't talking about the day of Pentecost because they were talking to men there. Here he's talking about a person who's in the Spirit, not talking to men, but talking to God. And the purpose of the tongue, the personal tongue, is to strengthen your own prayers. I love what Jude says, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. And so it's your language, your prayer language, that you speak to God, you get closer to God. And so that's a private use. And the fourth one, the last one, and we'll move on, is for intercession. And this can be a powerful way the Holy Spirit moves in your life. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, likewise, look what, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Simply put, we've got limited understanding of what's going on. There are times we don't know what to pray. There's times when you're so hurt. You've been through a lot. There's times you sit down and you pray for a loved one and your heart is just broken for them. You don't have the words to say. That's what Paul's saying. The Holy Spirit will just take over then. The Holy Spirit will start praying on you, for you, on your behalf. And that's when you start speaking in tongues. That means you're communing straight with the Father. You're communing right to God. That's like he hears your heart in those moments. We've had those moments. I'm sure you've had those moments when you're so broken for somebody, you don't know what to say. So we allow the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. I'm telling you, those can be some powerful, powerful times of prayer. When we rely on the Holy Spirit, he prays the perfect will of the Father. The Bible says the Spirit searches us and knows all things. So that's the different kinds of tongues. I know that's what everybody wants to know about. But we're not going to spend the rest of the service on that. What I'd rather focus on next few minutes is on the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Because when you're so filled with the Spirit, you live with the fruits of the Spirit. Then others around you are going to say, wow, I want what you have. I want what they got. I want to be able to respond like they respond. I want to be able to love like they were. I want to be able to smile like that. So what are we seeing as evidence or fruits of the Holy Spirit? What does it look like? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So we're going to go to Galatians and look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. So you see what it's saying? It says sinful nature, natural desires are contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit was contrary to the sinful nature. It's like there's this battle, right? We want to do what is not right. That comes natural to us, right? It's natural to us when somebody cuts us off traffic to repay that with letting them know how wrong they were. But the Spirit is on the other side and say, no, you need to show them love and grace. And so there's a battle within us. And what Paul is saying, there's a battle in us, and that's why we need a lot of Spirit to fill our lives, to fill our hearts, so we walk in the Spirit. So that way, even though they deserve to be number one, we don't tell them they are. We allow the Spirit to overtake us, and we allow the grace and mercy to flow from us. That's what we're talking about here. The Holy Spirit leads us to do the right things, even when we don't want to do the right things. There's this war going on. That's why he said we live by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. Now it gets even better in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 18. Paul says this. He says, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Look at verse 18. We're going to key off of verse 18 here. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, if you go back to where we started in Acts chapter 2, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, what did the Jews say they were? They said they were drunk. And isn't it interesting here, Paul saying, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit? Okay, this is not a sermon about alcohol as a sin, because it's not. I don't believe it's right, but I can't call it a sin. Okay, so my stance is that I've seen alcohol devastate so many lives that I don't do it. I don't believe in it. I think it's bad for your Christian witnessing, but that's where I'm going to leave it at. This is not about alcohol, but I want to make some comparisons here, because it will kind of blow your mind here if we compare these things here. Paul makes it very clear. Don't be drunk, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, I know we got some law officers in here, but when someone is drunk, what do they say? They say basically, you're what? You are under the influence. You get pulled over, you're swerving around, you know, you're missing your stop signs, you're missing lights, they pull you over, and the officer's going to say, you're under the influence. When someone's drunk, they're under the influence of alcohol. What that means is something else is controlling them. They're under the power, they're under the influence, and they're being controlled by alcohol. Listen, when you're under the influence of alcohol, you think differently. Come on. You think differently. You talk differently. Your words come out a little funny, right? You act differently. Come on, all these things. When you're under the influence of alcohol, you have different thoughts. You speak differently. You use different words. You do different behaviors. It gives you courage. I mean, you do all kinds of dumb things when you're under the influence of alcohol. Paul's saying, don't be under influence, be filled with the Spirit. Or you could say, be under the influence of the Spirit. Okay, now I want you to look at it this way. If you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, come on, you think differently, you talk differently, you act differently. Why? Because you're under the power of the Holy Spirit. You live by the Spirit. You walk with the Spirit. You keep in step with the Spirit. And when you're under the influence of the Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, you're totally different. Isn't it interesting how a substance in this world is a very bad counterfeit of what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in your life? Think about it. When you're hurting, you just got dumped, your girlfriend and boyfriend left you, you just lost your job, your tendency is go grab a drink. Why? Because you want comfort. You want to be, you feel better about yourself. Listen, don't get drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit do? It comforts you. When you're hurting, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of you, encourages you, comforts you, be with you, gives you peace that only He can give you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When you're under the influence of the Spirit, Spirit gives you ability to do what you cannot do. Informs on supernatural gifts. Supernatural gifts from God given to every believer to serve the church and make a difference in the world. Listen, it's like when you experience the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you want more of it. Like, you can't get enough. You want to be in His presence. You want to be filled with power. You want to be transformed by His glory. These gifts and the fruits, they move in and through you in a supernatural way in this natural world. So don't be drunk. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want the worship team to come on up. I just realized what time it is. We need to bring this home. So how do we do? The question is, okay, how do we do this? How do we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Here's my challenge. My challenge last week is going to be the same challenge as this week. I know a lot of you in here maybe have not grown up in a Pentecost background. Maybe this is some of the first time you've been hearing some stuff about the Holy Spirit, especially speaking in tongues. My challenge is that, one, you'd be just open to what the Lord has to say about this. That you don't automatically say, well, that's just, no, well, not, that's just, no. You say, okay, Lord, what would you have me learn about this? And the next step is to open the Word of God. Open the Word of God and start walking through the Word of God and see how God uses the Holy Spirit. Starting in Acts, you follow it out, all the encounters, how they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking in tongues. They're filled with the Holy Spirit and they start speaking in tongues. There's a pattern. You'll see a pattern. If you follow it out, you see the. So that's why I'm saying go to the Word of the Lord. So I challenge you, open the Word of God. I challenge you, start praying. Start saying, Lord, I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to learn about your Spirit. Lord, teach me, train me. Put on a little worship music. You start to be aware of His presence in your life. Maybe you start praying with your family. Maybe you start serving. Maybe you start using your gifts. all the time you're praying, Lord, teach me about the Holy Spirit, Lord. Because you believe all this, you believe none of it. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. So there has to be something about this that we need to know about. So that's where we start praying. We start seeking the Holy Spirit. I tell you, start open to the move of God in your life. Don't say, no, that's not happens no more. Don't shut it off. Just be open to the move of God in your life. And start praying that direction. I believe the Holy Spirit has brought you this moment so you'd understand that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is available to you today. You don't have to live a spiritless life, but you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is available to you to comfort you, to guide you, to convict you, to empower you, to live through you, to give you these gifts to serve in the church, to serve God. Church, and you're responsible to bring that Spirit in with more this way than that way. What's happening? Guiding me how I'm going to be very specific and then I'm going to listen. A lot of times we come to prayer, we kind of just almost like throw up on God and we leave. We give him all our troubles, all our wants, all our needs, and all right, thank you God, in your name I'm out. How about this time we stop? You write that prayer down, you start praying that prayer, and then you stop. And you just listen. You listen. See if the Lord is moving you in a different direction. See if the Lord is changing your prayer a little bit. And the more you do that, the more you learn that still small. That's my challenge for you when it comes to the Holy Spirit. As I challenge you to start seeking the Holy Spirit in your life. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. You stop and you listen. Church, my challenge for you today is wherever you stand. I know when you say Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, people automatically like, whoo, like a little freak out moment, right? Just be open to whatever God wants to do in your life. If you got questions, start reading the Word of God. start praying, Lord, speak to me. Help my understanding. Lead me and guide me in your ways. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to close this out. They're going to start. Thank you.
There's no strife.